Amen. We're going to unpack this today, and I feel like this is going to have a little better flow, maybe second service. The first service must be a warm-up, but, you know, I want to share just a little bit of a brief history with you guys, because it's important to understand what you're coming from, those that have been members, those that are new, those that are thinking about getting involved with Kings, you know, those that are watching online. You know, we are a growing church. Kings currently right now. Let me back up first before I do that. In 1980, Dr. Morocco, I think, had just became a doctor at that point in time, and he was asked to come and speak at a little church in Maui, Kahului, Maui. And when I say little, the congregation size was that of about 30. Maybe 30, 40 people. Now, we've been that size as a church. Now we're ministering roughly to 150 people weekly now through life groups, through church services, etc. But so we understood the size of that church a couple different times as we planted churches. And he was asked to come and speak at a church. He had been around large ministry pretty much his whole life, and his mom and dad had pastored in the Philippines, and was actually offered a great church in the Philippine Islands, and where actually I believe it was Lester Summerall's kids that have been actually pastoring there now. For David Summerall had been there for many years now pastoring. And Doctor was offered that church in the early 80s, and was offered a church in California, was offered work in Hawaii. He was working with Reverend Sapp from Oahu, but Doctor had felt to go actually to Maui, and he was invited to that church to preach, and he had spent the first Sunday there, and he preached a message. And the congregation at that point made a decision after he had preached the first message: you're our next pastor. They had taken a vote. Everybody agreed that he was going to be their next pastor. The only problem with that was the church didn't have any money. They didn't really have any resources. They didn't really have anything. They just took a vote and said, you're going to be our next pastor. And Dr. Morocco, I mean, we've heard this story many times in staff meetings, and The Miracle on Maui, which is a great book. I encourage, read these books. These books are, you want to learn about faith, read these books. Multiplying Church, you want to learn about faith, read Dr. Morocco's books. They'll increase your faith level. I'm serious. They'll increase your faith level. Oh, I don't like to read. Quit. Quit already. Get the audio. Like to read. Like to learn, because that's how you grow your faith. Amen. You know, faith comes by hearing. It's important that we hear it, right? But it's also that we do the application thereof. Anyway, let me back up. A little side note, praise God. But Doctor, he left that week, and he went into a time, and he tells the story, he went into a time of prayer and fasting. And he felt to go back to that church to minister again. And during that time, the Lord had shown him. He said, I believe that, you know, he felt like the Lord was showing him that what God wanted to do on the island of Maui was to plant a great church, a church that would reach nations. This is a church of 30 people. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Listen, don't despise the day of small beginnings in your own life. You may think, well, you know, I'm getting older. I'm 62, I'm 65, I'm 70. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise what God can do in the now. Amen. You know, that don't sit and say that ship has sailed. That it's long gone. No, today faith is now. Amen. You know, the only reason I can say that is because we have a senior global pastor that's now 76 that's moved to Dallas and now has 5 congregations in 7 or 8 months. That ought to increase somebody's faith in this house that God's not done with me. Amen. Well, I'm 50. No, God's not done with me. I'm 60. God's not done with me. We have a senior leader that's 76 that's left Maui, beautiful Maui, doesn't have to leave Maui to go play in another work. I'm getting ahead in the story, but Doctor had actually went and he had preached, and at the end of service, he kind of already knew that they wanted him as a pastor, but he said, you know, he had shared this with the congregation. He said, I'm not going to have you vote on me as your pastor, but what I'm going to have you vote on is the vision. Because you can vote on me as a man, but if you're not but if you're not behind the vision, you're not you guys checking with me here today. If you're not behind the vision, we're not going to go very far. There's no reason for me to be your pastor if you as a congregation is not, you as a congregation, you're not behind the vision. So at the end of service, he had preached the message, and he had had people just grab a piece of paper and said, yes for the vision or no for the vision. Laid a bucket up front, and the people, in closing out the service, brought their piece of paper up, and it was unanimous. Pastor, we're for the vision. We're for the vision. You know, at that point, Doctor, you know, I love this because he said, you know, the church didn't have any money, but he said, I knew what I needed at that point was I needed a secretary. So I called the board together. He said, we have no money. But God had already shown me what was going to happen, what was going to transpire. That God was going to begin to move in these services. He asked the board, he said, I need a secretary. They don't have any money. They have no ability even to make payroll two weeks from now. But he went to the board and he said, I need a secretary. They said, Pastor, whatever you want. We're behind you in the vision. They brought on a secretary who actually happens to be Pastor Ann, who now has been with Doctor 46 years. Pastor Ann, who runs life groups and travels and has been here, that was Dr. Morocco's secretary when King started. So it's kind of remarkable that, and then you would have a lady of such great faith that has helped carry this vision for 46 years. Amen. Isn't God a faithful God? Well, you know, from there, you know, the story doesn't quit. If you've never read Miracle on Maui, I mean, it's such a fascinating thing. King's Cathedral at that point, and King's Cathedral, now Chapels, became the fastest growing church, one of the fastest growing churches in the United States. They doubled the first week, they tripled the second week, they quadrupled, and they had to begin to blow out walls. I've actually preached in the first church that they had. It wasn't any bigger than this. You know, the chapel that they met in was a very small chapel. They still own the property there, and one of our outreach programs is actually running services out of their family life now as we speak. And they actually have a Sunday morning. They have a Hawaiian service there this morning. Amen. I've had the privilege of being able to preach right in that building to see the oil, the sweat, the blood, the tears, and all that. You know, later online, later they had actually purchased a skating rink to expand the church because the church had grown so fast, so quick. You know, I tell this story to really help you understand what you're a part of. You know, when we move to West Virginia and you tell people, well, we're from a church or from an extension in Hawaii, people, all they want to talk about is Hawaii. Why did you move from West Virginia to Hawaii? And then why did you move back from Hawaii? What don't you like Hawaii? Yeah, I really like Hawaii. But everybody say this, but God. Because see, we serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. You know, in 2015, 16, the Lord began to speak to me personally about coming back to West Virginia. Honestly, I was confused because, you know, my wife and I, our family, we had made the move, and we, you know, at that point, we had made the decision, Lord, you know, we're moving, and we may spend the rest of our life here. We knew that it was important that we heard from the Lord, but we would do whatever the Lord asked us to do. Can I be honest with you? It's so important that you hear. You don't want to be out of faith or be in the wrong place with the Lord. Several things added up very quickly to know we were in the right place. Well, the same thing happened in 2015. I remember walking out on the porch of my lanai, and I heard and I felt God. I felt God speak to me, and he began to just kind of speak to me about West Virginia. And you know, he had spoke, you know, North Central West Virginia, Morgantown, this region, into my spirit. And I said, Lord, what is all that about? And it was a seed. It was a word planted in me at that time for what was to come. For what was to come. We moved back here roughly in 2017. And with much prayer and much consideration, Rand and I, we rejoined Dr. Morocco's team. I think it was probably in 2018. You know, Doctor had felt that there was that there would always be King's churches on the East Coast. King's with an S, churches with an S. There would be multiple locations where Kings would operate out of. Amen. And we've begun to pray about that, and that was the launch of Kings West Virginia here in Fairmont. Now let me just say this real quick, because you know it's important to understand the vision that you're behind. But when we actually got involved with Kings, and I believe it was 2015, they were celebrating the 120. That was one church, many locations, now serving 100, now with 120 extensions. Now, I honestly thought, because, you know, I came from a church of one church, and I, you know, it was a little church in Harrisville, West Virginia. We did great things for the Lord, praise God, but I don't know what the right word is here, but we got to see God-sized visions. And I remember even just walking into that celebration, which is where I'm getting ready to go to. We'll celebrate 46 years of ministry with Kings. And I remember being in that meeting, and I watched all these nations walking around the church, carrying flags, representing. They're representing the kingdom of God, but they're marks where Kings locations now exist. Nations like Japan, nations like South America, Chile, nations like England, France, Hawaii, of course, and all the states that Kings begin to multiply in. And I could remember that feeling just of like, wow, this is what God's up to. Can I tell you that in 2024, God's still up to the same thing. We're currently operating in 650 locations now worldwide, serving in many countries. I'll have more of an update for this house, sometime mid-June, I'm sure. But this is what you're behind. You're behind a great vision to expand the kingdom of God. I want to give you a little bit of history because, you know, even to understand, in 2018, this property here at 704 was purchased. And my wife and I needed a house. God needed a church. Of course, we didn't know that at the point in time. We had felt that, yeah, that would likely happen, but we were looking for a home. You know, we had looked and we had shopped 6 months. We had spent so much money, so much time driving. I mean, it was like every other day we're driving to Morgantown, Fairmont, Bridgeport, looking for a home. We knew that we couldn't live where we currently live. We knew because God, 2015, put a word in me. This is the area in which you need to live. I'm going to do something there. This is the area. So 6 months, 8 months, we spent time traveling. Good, you know, I mean, we would go to Maryland and look at houses. I mean, we were all over the place. Whatever it would take to get us to closer to this area. Not that Maryland, where we were looking at houses, was any closer than where we were actually at. We just knew that we needed to make the move to this area, to this direction. Praise God, that was the time. Can I show you something? But there were some battles along the way. There were some battles along the way. I had a mother that was that actually during that year passed. She had terminal cancer. There were some battles. There was some things, and I think sometimes you know you think that as you're pressing in faith, as you're doing things in faith, everything's just not always easy peasy, so to speak, right? But it's that you're in the battle and that you're saying, no, God, you're on my side. God, I know that I have you on my side. And that's what the Israelites had. They had God on their side. You know, there was a battle also in the Old Testament. It was Jehoshaphat, you know, he calls a fast before his people, and he receives a word from a prophet, and the prophet says, you know, I want you to hear this from the Lord. For the battle is not yours, but it's mine, declares the Lord. You have a God fighting for you. You have, guys, you know, there was a God fighting for Fairmont before I ever got here. There are churches, there are people praying for a region, for a state to be saved. You know, I said it earlier. You know, I don't believe that the fact that I ended up in Hana, Hawaii was a mistake. Because there was a church called King's Cathedrals and Chapels praying for an area like Hana. You know, at that point, even before when we got there, they were meeting in a cafeteria with three people, praying every week for God to pour out His Spirit on that village and on that town. And that God, you know, Doctor always says, I can't believe that God would send somebody from West Virginia, You hear this? Send. That he would send somebody from West Virginia to Hana, Hawaii. And he laughs every time he says it. He just says, "Isn't God's a funny God?" And you know, that's what God will do. It's God-sized visions. It's so God is big. Amen. He wants to work through your life. He doesn't want to do just small things. He doesn't just want to do small things. 2018, we purchased this property. September, that was actually in May. In September 2018, we didn't really wait. We began a Wednesday night Bible study. And, you know, we called it the banquet. Rand and I cooked food every Wednesday for how many ever people would show up. I was running to Morgantown and picking up food from a lady that donated food to us. I was doing anything I could do to get this church out into the community to advance the kingdom of God. We visited every home with probably Angela come through those visitations. She's still here helping with bus ministry. That's faithfulness, amen? But we visited all the homes. So what do you do when you're planting a church? You go visit people. Yeah, you pray, but you go out and you make things happen. You go out and lead people to the Lord. You go out and pray and prophesy. You go out and heal the sick. It's the demonstration in power that the world needs to see. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells on the inside of you. So it's not that you just lay back and hope things work. You go make things happen. That's what we're doing at Kings. We're making things happen. Guys, this is what you're a part of. You know, you're a part of a team. You're a part of a group of people that say, you know, no, we're not going to shrink back. Well, what about the attacks? We laugh at the enemy. We mock the enemy. The devil's a liar. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. Quit giving him any credit in your life. You know, when he's locked up and thrown in the pit of hell, they're like, it was him? He was the troublemaker? Spit in his face. Spit in the enemy's face. We got to have. I'm telling you, you know, men, we've got to have. Be careful here. There's got, you know, your testosterone. Let's just call it that. Your testosterone has to kick in a little bit. Quit getting run over, men. Women, you've got to grab a hold of this. You got to say enough is enough. No, I'm not moving backwards. Man, we've got to get to a place where, you know, I have no excuse not to serve God. I have no excuse not to go and do what he's asking me to do. Well, I felt like sleeping. I felt like this. I felt like that. No, it's time to advance the church. It's time to lay down the excuses. You know, we get wrapped up in how we feel. What about how God feels? Why can't we turn it around? Why can't we turn it around? God, how do you feel? God, what do you want? Not what I want. God, what do you want? What do you want, God, from me? Not God, what can you do for me? God, what do you want from me? I didn't preach this the first service, so I don't even know where all this is coming from. But God, what do you want from me? Where do you want me to? What stance do you want me to take? I tell you, this is the stance we're taking in 2024. We're going to build a church. We're going to build a great church. And out of that church, you know, when I stood before Dr. Morocco 6 months ago, 8 months ago, I don't even know when, and he laid his big old hand on me, he said, West Virginia shall become a hub. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That out of this house there would be many churches planted. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like, I'm not asking about how you feel. I'm telling you what's going to happen. What's that going to look like? I don't know. But I'm telling you, that's why we need faith. Amen. That's why you need faith. That's why we've got to quit making excuses with the Lord. That, you know, that's why we can't play patty cake with him. If Jesus Christ was going to return tomorrow, are you happy with what you've done? Are you happy with what you've done for the Lord? Do you feel like you could do some more? I feel like I could do some more. Amen. I'm preaching to me right now. I feel like I could do some more. I feel like I can make less excuses. I feel like I could be less busy about myself and be busy with the kingdom. Amen. Vision Sunday. Praise Jesus. I'm talking to me, okay? Guys, I'm talking to me. You know, in January 6, 2019, we launched our first service. I gotta tell you honestly, it looked crazy. You know, there was five of us, Zane and Halama. You know, Halama had moved to help the church, and we were out inviting people to church, and you know, they were leading old Pentecostal worship songs, and people would walk in here, and we had our hands raised and singing to the Lord, and you know, most of the people we're inviting, they had never been to church. They'd walk in and say, "What is this? What's going on here? Hey, we got Wednesday night. We're going to feed people." They'd come out for food, but a Sunday morning, that was altogether different. Just come Wednesday night. You'll learn about this. And I remember so many fun stories, really. I mean, you know, the first few months, I mean, like, see, there's the battle. We've been battle tested. We got battle ready in a place called Hana, Hawaii. There were things that God prepared me for, spiritual things that, the first week I was here, I mean, somebody had sent me an email. They had sent me a text. They were a Christian. They were from another church. Don't need to name that church. It begins with, no, I won't even do that. So, but they were from another church, and they were like, you know, what's your stance on this? And it was just so quick, the Lord was like, you don't have to defend yourself with stupidity. You know, do you believe in women pastors and ministers? The last thing I said, you know, my wife's preaching tonight. Why don't you come? Church starts at 7 o'clock. Hey, God, I'll talk to you later. Click. Now, it wasn't like I was going to say Godspeed or God bless. You're being sent from the enemy. I've had people call me fake, phony. I've had people say, well, you're a fake KC church. You want to be like kings? Yeah. Who would do that? That's dumb. Who would act like you have a relationship with Dr. Morocco? I mean, why would you even do that? Why would you want to be struck dead? That's what I don't understand. Why would you make things up like you're a fake king's church? Praise God. I love Doctor. I told him about that. He said, "Where did that come from?" I said, "We won't talk about that." But you know, it was these battles. You're tested, you're tried. You guys, you're still here, right? You're still sucking wind. You're still breathing. You know, maybe everything's not perfect. Get in line. We're being perfected in the image of Christ Jesus. You're being perfected. You're battle tested. But you see, you're battle tested, and when you get battle tested, it makes you battle ready. You know, I stand differently now, right? I stand with the confidence in Him, not the confidence in myself. I myself, I just, you know, I'd be like some Christians, just about to stay home today. Grill out, get ready for the 11 o'clock service. Maybe take a nap, pet the dog. I just chill. Just chill out. Yeah, that's good. Then, you know, you've watched five different people preach on TV. You know, people that do that, how do you get behind a vision? How do you get behind a vision when you're watching 25 people preach? Well, I got these favorite people I listen to. Why don't you listen to your pastor? I'm sorry. Why don't you listen to the people that are in front of you? I listen to Dr. Morocco, Pastor Josh. I listen to our pastor. Why don't you listen to your pastor? Oh, I feel like, you know, listen to this pastor. Listen to your pastor. If you're in that house, that's ultimately the vision you're coming. You see, our vision, your vision, it comes together, it coincides, right? Right? Isn't that what we're talking about? You know, when Dr. Morocco put that down, do you support the vision? I'm not talking about, do you support me? Do you support advancing the kingdom of God? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. 2020, you know, we've seen COVID. We've seen the pandemic kick. Everything changed. People left the church. We had felt like steam, things had picked up. Things were starting to roll. COVID hit. Pastor, I don't think I'll be back. You know, I'll be praying for you. What are you guys going to do? We're going to open the church. I don't know that we'll be back. What are you guys going to do? We're going to open the church. Well, I don't know if we'll be back. Those were five or six phone calls right off the bat that I had to take care of. What are you guys going to do? We're going to open the church. I don't know that we'll be back. You hate losing people, but God called me. So I don't, it's not like a fear, no fear thing. It's that God called us. So if it was just me and my wife preaching to me on a Sunday morning, me raising my hands, and then Zane and Halama singing and doing worship, that's what it'd have been. But we would have believed God for the harvest, amen? Because we were on the streets, we were winning souls, we were believing that God was going to turn this thing around. And I tell you that in 2024, I'm still believing that God's going to turn this thing around, amen? We're just getting started. And don't grow weary in well doing. You know, those that have been here a little while, you're like, oh man, you know, we've had some battles. Yeah, we don't grow weary. People follow vision. I follow vision. I follow a Dr. James Morocco. I follow somebody that has vision. You know, that's important in your life. If you don't get anything out of today, please understand, you follow people that have vision. Because if your life will lead to destruction when you follow people that aren't going somewhere. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Amen. Don't follow 12 people on YouTube that have 12 followers that want to blast the church every other week. Don't do that. That's dumb. You'll look like them. You'll look like what you become. That's why we follow vision. That's why we follow a church that's in 650 locations. We follow that. Amen. And we model it to the best of our ability. Amen. Praise God. 2020, 2022 was a year of us establishing teams, greeters, life groups, transformation, go team. It was all that. You know, when we ask you to get involved on being a greeter, it's, I don't feel like it. Quit. If you've been here for 3 or 4 years, quit. You're instrumental. You're a part of a team that's growing. You're a part of something that God wants to expand. It's not about how you feel, it's about Him. It's about expanding the kingdom. Quit. You know, in 2023, it's so cool to see what God did even in this last year. You know, we went to 90 to 100, 105, 110 people on our first Sunday morning services. We knew that we had to go to two services. And summer's in. You know, there's vacations. Enjoy it. Enjoy your time this summer with your family. Take some time. Spend vacation. Do that. That's important. Do those things. But, you know, everything began to shift over the last year. We purchased the 9.1 acres for a purpose, to build God's kingdom, to see God's kingdom advanced. Amen? You know, why? Why build a church? Pastor, aren't you happy? I'm very pleasant person. I'm a very content person. I'm a very happy person. I'm thankful with what God's done. You know, 18 months ago, we did. We asked Doctor, what do we need to change here to advance? He's like, you need to turn this into a classroom, do this, do that. And, you know, as we begin to dig the ditches and we begin to get the renovations done, as soon as we got them done, we had nursery kids. As soon as we got that done downstairs, we God began to fill all those spots. So it's why you follow vision, amen? And so, you know, we've reached this place. Why build? You know, aren't you happy? Well, I am very happy. You know, people, I had a guy ask me the other day, what are you going to do with that building when you build a church? I don't know. God give it to us. It was kingdom for us. Whether or not we sell it and we invest, we sow the money, praise God. God can do that, amen. Whether or not it's turned into some kind of outreach, I don't know. But I'm going to hear from the Lord on it, amen. We're going to pray about it. But in 2023, you don't know how much it makes me happy as a pastor. You know, even yesterday, Angela and Greg at a facility, Brother Stephen at a facility, Unity at a facility. How can I tell you? It doesn't just make me happy; it makes Jesus happy. Yeah. Please understand. It's not about making your pastor. Oh, you know, I'm doing this to look good in front of the pastor. You know, when I think about Unity and I think about these facilities, you know, and even Unity, that 4 people come to Christ before they went home to be with Jesus. They were given the opportunity for salvation. If somebody wasn't sent, would they have made heaven? This is not a game. You know, it's like, well, you know, my role's not that important. If you can drive a vehicle, if you can bake cookies, if you can just go and sit and pray with someone. You know, we go in and grab people by the hands and we hug them. I remember Angela, one meeting I went to, the power of God was all over you. You walked out of that meeting, just the power of God was, and you were just, you know, there was joy, but it was just like you were just crying. Because your heart was meshed with the people. That's what God does. He'll do that with you. He'll do that with you within a vision. He'll make you care about things that you and your own self and your natural man think, I could never care about that. But God turns that around. You know, we in October, we closed on the 9.1 acres. I shared a little bit of the story this morning. You know, was there a battle? You know, was there an aug? I mean, yeah, several actually. You know, when you go to buy property, you just want to close the deal and be done. This is property. It's not a house. You know, house deals can be a little longer to close. This is a property. It's a straightforward deal. We're paying cash. You know, I'm standing on the property. I'll never, you know, it's just, I went and I walked the property and the price started out at this amount, $365,000. We're not paying that for it. The Lord, at certain points, there's a place in the road where I could drive you to today and say, I've heard God right here speak to me twice in this one location, and it's not far from my house. And he told me to offer this and begin to broker a deal. That's what I heard. So that's what happened. And so over a period of 3 months, we were back and forth. And my realtor would call me up and say, what do you want to do? I said, nothing. He's like, are you closing the deal down? I said, no. I said, we'll have the property. He said, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you'll. He said, you know, this is what they want. I said, no. I said, this is my offer right now. And then, they came in. It was so funny because, you know, I offered like the first offer was like 180 or something. And so their price, original price was like 380 or something. And they come in at 280. They countered with 280. And my next offer was, tell them 205. You know, because God had already showed me. He'd showed me amount. And I remember that the point in time that I was on the deal, it had gotten to a place where it's like, could happen, may not happen. I'm still believing the Lord. If we don't get this, God's going to give us a building. You know, you guys have that kind of faith. I have that kind of faith in what God began to show me what he wanted to do in Fairmont, West Virginia, through us, the church, you, the people. Amen. That you're the ones that play a part in this. You think your part's so small. I need a Justin, right? I need a Joey. You know, the people that are new coming here. You're instrumental in every piece of this, every piece of the vision. I walked on the property and I was standing on the back side of the property. I felt like the Lord said, "Go to the property and pray." So I did, and I heard something from the Lord, and I won't share that necessarily, or an impression. I'm not sure. It could have been just an impression, but. As I prayed, the Lord said, "You need to get the mineral rights on the property as well." I'm like, "Lord, you know, I'm like, that seems people don't release mineral rights if you're selling property. They just don't. They're going to retain them, you know, in case some big oil boom happens or something happens. You know, it just you retain the mineral rights." And I was like, I feel like that's from the Lord, and I went so much as to lock this thing in. Because I felt that it was God, and I called doctor, and I said, "Doctor, you know, they're negotiating on the property, but I said, I feel like, you know, because I was nervous to tell him. I was nervous to tell doctor about the mineral rights, because I knew once I said it, that's the only way we were buying the property. I don't care if they came back and said, we're going to sell the property for $10,000. We'll give it to you, doctor said. Is the mineral rights included? If they'd have said no, we probably would have not got the property. If I give him a price on something, like when we were buying a church van, I said, I can buy a church van for this. Then he said, that's what we spend. It's not, he's Italian, so it must be something about the way they do business. But so anyway, so I called him. I said, doctor, I had to lock this thing in. I said, I feel like we're getting close on the negotiation, but I said, the Lord just told me to get the mineral rights. He said, okay, we'll get the mineral rights. If we don't get the mineral rights, we don't buy the property. That's how simple it was. So I called a realtor. I called a realtor. I said, realtor, John, we're going to buy the property, and I believe everything's going to close. But I said, I got another twist here. We need the mineral rights. He said, no way. He's like, man, you know, John's kind of, man, it's not going to happen, man. You know that, you know. Like, John, no, just tell him we need the mineral rights. He's like, oh, man. Because he's been working this deal for me for 6 months. And he's given up on it 4 times. And I'm just like, he calls me, what do you think? I said, you got faith, don't you? I said, yeah, I got faith. He's like, thanks, you're increasing my faith. Amen. Pray for me, he'd always say. And he needs to get back here. But praise God, we got the mineral rights. You know, he called the realtor, their realtor, and he called the people, and the people said, we've never given our mineral rights away. We've sold properties, a lot of properties, and it's a well-known family name in Fairmont and throughout that whole side. We've never given mineral rights, but we feel to release the mineral rights to you. But this is the condition. We want this amount. Praise God. Close the deal. We'll take it. And I called Doctor up, and they were in a board meeting, and they're sitting with the international board. Pastor Josh was, he's like, I got an aerial. I can oversee the property. And of course, they've seen it now. Doctors come and bless the property. But that's how we ended up with the 9.1 acres. God wants to do something there. And he wants to do something through the people of this house. He wants to do something through the people of Fairmont, West Virginia. There's a bonding. There's so many things that's happening in the church world. And but I believe this, that this is the hour in which God is increasing the church. He's multiplying the church. He's looking for a people that just will say, you know what, I'm battle ready. I've got my sword, whether you're right hand or left hand. I mean, I'm left handed, but I got my shield and I've got my sword, right? I've been tested. Og's coming down. Those fortified cities. Fairmont was, you know, those fortified cities that have been held in bondage. Those nations that have been held in bondage. Under the bridge that's been held in bondage in Fairmont, West Virginia. You know, Bellevue that's been held in bondage. Monongah, Farmington, Mannington, you know, Morgantown, Bridgeport, Clarksburg, you know, Philippi. Those areas that have been held in bondage are coming down. They're getting broke in Jesus' name. Because there's a people, there's a church that's saying, you know, no, we're taking ground. We're taking territory. You know, you think, how do we do this? We do it with people. We do it with people. You know, why build, Pastor? Why do we need a new building? Well, you know, we have a parking lot issue. You know, when we did one service, like the last month, people are leaving because they can't find parking. We don't want anybody to leave, right? And don't say, well, you know, I'll give up my spot. No, you need to be here too. So, you know, people say, well, you know, I'll just miss church to give up my parking spot. Don't do things like that. They need it more than me. No, you need it too. You know, people, you know, they need, you know, I'm not going to go up front and get prayer today because they need it more than me. No, you go to the altars. You go to the place where you can get something from God. Amen. You know, it's you know, I come expecting today. Not knowing how the second message was even going to go. I was like, Lord, I'm ready for it. Lord, I'm ready for what you want to do through me today. Lord, that I would say something from the Holy Ghost that would put a deposit in me. Amen. Amen. So we got parking lot issues. We've got kid issues on a Wednesday. This past Wednesday, you know, it's so cool when they have all the kids here, right? All the youth. This Wednesday was packed. I come in, it was like 70 people on a Wednesday night. That's pretty good for a church our size. 70 people, 40-some kids, and putting, they're not closets, they're rooms, right? But it feels like a closet for some of you, right? We'll make this a nursery. We'll make this a 5x5 room. We're going to make this a 2-year-old classroom. You know, it's like whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we're going to find space, right? Whatever it takes. So why build? You know, we're out of space. And can I be honest with you? The building here, it's not equipped to contain what God wants to do. God began to show, you know, Pastor, I really like this little building. I like it too. I like it too, but I know what God wants to do. You know, get 150, 200 people on fire for Jesus, we can take West Virginia. See, that's the kind of faith that I feel. That's the kind of faith I see in people here. I see that because I've watched you come through some battles. There's nobody in here that I haven't seen personally fight a battle and come through it. You're not sitting here. If you're not battle tested and ready, you wouldn't be here. You'd be home sucking your thumb. I mean, just sitting on the couch, flipping through TV, wondering what preacher you want to watch. No, you're ready. You're ready to take ground for the Lord. Amen. You're ready to do work for the kingdom. You're ready to advance. And that's what I love about Kings, because that's the group of people that I believe is here, the group of people that God's raised up. You know, from first generation Christians to people that have been broke, people that have been busted, you know, people that have, you know, more ways than one, people that, you know, things that have happened. But you're here and you're saying, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight for the King. I'm going to fight for my Lord. He is my banner. I'm going to wave that flag over King's Chapel, West Virginia. My presence is important. My King is important. Praise Jesus. Why, Bill? We're going to be a hub in West Virginia. Out of this church, many other churches will come. Pastor, when? I don't know. But these are the necessary steps. If you guys would, I got ushers that were helping me.